activists fight to save pets from being abducted for food. Mm-hmm. And then it tells here that they're actually in Peking Chinese cat restaurants. See? And it actually says it in this article. It is a dish that a small minority of diners like to order in the homeland of Cantonese food, the southern province of Guangdong, where it is said that people will eat anything with four legs except the table. So apparently, and then it says there are even cat restaurants. You have to find where it says that. They're sold to restaurants that often keep the cats and other live animals in cages for inspection by diners.
Mm-hmm. Was that rumor?
Yeah, now it's coming out. In other words, what the point is, where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. This is such a persistent rumor. I heard it when I was a kid. But sometimes you ask Chinese, they would deny it. They don't like to hear about it, you know. I don't say good Chinese restaurants do that, you know. I doubt, you know. unless it's a specialty, unless you go to a real cat restaurant, you know. But the point is, there is something to this, right? Now, I think it's the same thing with this Jewish ritual murder. This is such a persistent story. There are many books about it. The Jews say it's all anti-Semitism, it's all lies, it's all garbage, but it just won't go away. So I think this ties in with the Jewish ritual murder. I gave you a little booklet on that.
Yeah. Okay.
And the point is, I think also that the Jews would like to eat meat. You remember I was talking to you about how they like to eat children for sausage? Yeah, I believe the Jews want to eat meat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have the proof. I'm going to show you the proof right here.
What
does the proof say? Well, this is an article from
you have it there with you.
All right, right here, yeah. American Chess Journal. Okay. This is American Chess Journal number 2. This came out in September 1993. And here's an article by this guy called Edward Winter called Instant Fisher. Yeah, so I think they want to eat me.
Instant
Fisher. Yeah.
Okay.
Just like
instant noodle.
Yeah, instant fisher, right. I think they've got eating fisher on their mind. The Jews are eating. This is a true publication. It's an American Chess Journal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They hate my guts. Well, maybe they love my guts. I don't know. Okay.
There's this article here about the DVDs.
Oh, yes. If you remember, see, these clippings are all tied in with things I've been telling you on our interviews, right? You remember this creep, Bobby Ong, in his article about me in his book. He is trying to claim that Paramount Pictures changed the name of Searching for Bobby Fischer to Innocent Mode, which is not true. There's no way they're going to give up making money on this, on me, sucking my blood. And now it turns out that this DVD, it's a whole new ball game for the movie industry, and they intend to make enormous profits on lots of older movies. They've already come out with 10,000 DVD titles. So they've already made tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, on the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer, without my permission, using my name, using my image, and they intend to keep making tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars more. And they're going to make much more with the DVD, because the DVD is much cheaper to produce than the cassette, you know. It's just like a little record. And also, they can do a lot more things with DVDs. They can put subtitles on a movie in many languages. In one DVD, well, maybe have 12 different languages. You select which language of subtitles you want. And I think they may even be able to have more than one soundtrack. So they may be able to have an English language version of it, maybe a German, whatever, all on the same DVD. So the profit potential is enormous. The cost is much cheaper than a video cassette, and the profits are much greater. So I'm sure they've already come out with another edition of a DVD edition of Searching for Bobby Fischer to make to rip me off more.
By the way, you talk of Bobby Ong.
Yeah, yeah.
did he say in his book that he came from
this guy is such an utterly disgusting creature. First, look what he said about his mother. Makes you want to puke. This is a dedication of his book. This is far beyond 2000. He dedicated his book. Look what he said about his mother. To my mother, Esperanza Ang, who made me. Hope I was worth it. I mean, to me, this is insulting to a mother. I don't know. Just to discuss. Okay, let's skip that. Now, look what he says here. To Very Reverend Father Frederick Fermin, Rector Magnificus of the University of Santo Tomas, from 1978 to 1982, who took me under his wing when I was having a hard time making ends meet during my college days. But now I am informed by somebody who says they got it firsthand from Bobby Ong that his family owns most of the stock of this Standard electric company, Standard Appliance Company. And they make advertisement by them from the Philippine Star, June 2nd, 2001. They make fans, they make rice thermos, they make blenders, stoves, toasters. What is it, toaster or microwave? Toasters and all it's a coordinated, maybe, I don't know, what else? I don't know whether they need, because this is standard survival gear of college. Maybe they, I don't know whether they, I don't think they make laptops and phones, but I think these ones, they make a lot of kitchen stuff, right?
That's right.
So apparently he comes from a very, very rich family. Why is he trying to pretend? Why is he trying to poor boy with his stuff?
Maybe he did not use the family fortune for his...
Maybe he's afraid of being kidnapped, huh?
It's not his name. I don't know.
To give me an idea what a disgusting creep this guy is and how he's my enemy. In this section, The Agony of a Genius, which we went into last time, you know, he has a big section about this robbery of my stuff at Beacons, right?
That's right.
And he talks about this auction and all this stuff. He never once mentions the name Beacons. Can you believe that? How do you report on the robbery of my stuff at Beacons without mentioning the name Beacons? How many times have I mentioned the name Beacons on these programs? Hundreds of times, probably. Many times, hundreds of times. And he refused to mention the name Beacons. That tells you right there that he's on the side of Beacons and the side of the Jews, the side of the Rothschilds, who are quite sure own Beacons. Can you imagine not mentioning the name Beacons? Unbelievable.
Okay.
Now,
what else do we have there?
Okay. And again, this is what we were talking about, how the U.S. Right. Here's another article from the Philippine Daily Inquirer. Groups say U.S. leading biopiracy perpetrator. That is to say, they go to countries like India, find some herbal cure, maybe some Ayurvedic cure they've been using for thousands of years, and then some plant, whatever it is, and so on, some preparation, and they'll patent it and say, it belongs to us now. You can't even use it yourself anymore.
You know,
this is the country that's supposed to be teaching others about fair play and level playing field. They got so many of these slogans, the U.S. They're great with these slogans. But it turns out the U.S. is the worst violator of them all, right? Groups say U.S. leading biopiracy perpetrator, not a biopiracy, but the leading one. The U.S. is a totally false country, it's a fake country, it's a criminal regime. Controlled by dirty Jews, and I think, incidentally, coming back to China, it looks like the Chinese know how to treat the U.S. They really squeeze them. I think they haven't returned that plane yet, right?
No.
They talked about it, they agreed to return, but they didn't return. You know why? Because this Olympic thing is coming up, right? The vote is coming up very soon, right? In a few weeks, right?
That's right.
And the U.S. promised, that was one of the U.S., I think, promised them a lot of things, to get into this World Trade Organization, to let them have the Olympics. They said, okay, good, we're going to keep the plane until you fulfill the Olympic vote, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think. Because the U.S. already said, we don't oppose it anymore, remember? Just a few days ago, right?
Right. bargaining.
Yeah. Personally, I would not have returned those 23 spies myself. But I know the Chinese are probably a lot wiser than me. But I would have taken them to Peking, put every one of those guys on trial.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would have squeezed the U.S. so hard on this.
Oh. Isn't it just recently that Timothy McVeigh was executed? What do you think about that issue?
Oh, yeah, this is more U.S. Hypocrisy. First of all, let's go to this thing. Everybody keep talking about all the children who died, right? The children, right? What about what the U.S. did in Waco, Texas? They killed over 100 men, women, and children. And I think there were more children died in that fire, which the U.S. government deliberately set to burn those people alive than died in Waco. The reason that's the reason why they say McVeigh did this bombing, because he was so angry about that. When he saw that on TV, he was crying. He wanted to send a message to the U.S. government. But now, the U.S. never talks about those children, right? Never. They say, they had bad parents, and the children deserve to die, right? I mean, even if you have a bank robbery, right? And somebody has, let's say he takes his own little baby with him, right? For example, right? What, you just shoot him and the baby because he has a bad father, right? No, you try to save the baby at all costs, right? You don't. So what the hell are they doing burning that down? Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, the U.S. government had no business putting a kindergarten or nursery, whatever they put in that federal building. People all over the world hate the U.S. government, including me. And a lot of good people hate the U.S. government. Osama bin Laden, Russia, China. So many people hate the federal government, right? Because of all of the crimes it's committing in Yugoslavia, Kosovo, Iraq, Palestine. What is the U.S. government doing putting those children in harm's way? Did the U.S. government put them there to discourage an attack on that building? Were they some kind of hostages to protect the federal workers? You know? Also, I remember, you remember back in the Iraq War, right?
Yeah.
They killed over 100, maybe several hundred men, women, and children in a shelter. You remember that?
Yeah.
And they were from high-level, families of high-level officials. Remember that? And they sent a smart bomb right in there and killed them all. The U.S. government said, yeah, we killed them because that was actually a command center, and the Iraqi government put all those women and children in there as hostages, so we wouldn't attack the command center. But we're not going to be tricked like that. We're not going to allow. We're not going to be manipulated like that. That their blood, and the blood of those women and children, is on the Iraqi government, right? So the U.S. government is the same thing there with that federal building. Because the U.S. government is hated. They know they're hated. I bet you now they don't have any more kindergartens or nursery schools in federal buildings, huh? So they know they. That's another point. So the sheer hypocrisy talking about that. Another point that's very dirty was this delaying his execution. You remember that the Attorney General, John Ashcroft?
Yes.
Delayed the execution for what? 30 days or a few weeks, right?
A few weeks.
Or maybe less than a month or something, about a month, right? Delayed the execution. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. I've been around, I'm 58. I do not recall ever an Attorney General delaying an execution. My understanding is governors can give reprieve, right, delay executions or pardon or whatever. The president can give show clemency or pardon, right? Courts, of course, can delay executions. They do that all the time. I have never heard about the attorney general delaying an execution, have you? But all the press is silent. So where the hell is this rule of law in the USA? Where did this John Ashcroft get the right to make this postponement? Just an example of what a lawless country the U.S. is. And all the Jew-controlled press, nobody says a word about this. But maybe I'm wrong. Somebody tell me where John Ashcroft got the right to make this point. Now, this is something either for the governor of the state of Indiana, the president, the scumbag President Bush, or the courts. Now, the reason apparently they did this delaying is they have a lot of evidence, more. There may be a lot of other people involved. We don't know what the real story of this whole Timothy McVeigh bombing is. And they knew it's going to come out eventually, right? So they, well, we better let it out first, you see? Otherwise, people are going to be talking about conspiracies, other bombers, other people involved, right?
Yeah.
So they deliberately went through this charade of saying we discovered FBI documents. How are you going to, according to what I read, these FBI documents were from FBI agents all over the country, or offices all over the country. So thousands of people were investigators. How are you going to discover something like that at the last minute, right? That they, you suddenly have over 4,000 documents. This was a charade. But somebody show me where it says the Attorney General can postpone a federal execution. I don't believe he has that right. And why is the press keeping it so quiet? Why isn't the press, where did he get the right to do this?
Well,
have you ever heard of an Attorney General postponing an execution?
No.
I've been around 58 years, read the papers all the time. I never heard of such a thing. And why am I the only guy saying this?
Right.
Okay.
Bobby, we have given just an hour for this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a note that says you might be interested in giving your P.O. box.
Some of these people were robbing me. Some of their apologists are saying, the reason they're not sending me all the money is they don't know where to contact. You know. So let me give a P.O. box I've had for over 20 years, okay? Robert James Fisher, P.O. Box 50307, Pasadena, California, 91105, United States of America. Also, you remember that internet site we gave? You can send me an email at that internet site.
Right.
You don't need an email. Just log on there and leave a message on there.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, okay,
mm-hmm.
Maybe we can allow about 2-3 more minutes.
Okay, get a couple of others. You remember I was saying how Clinton is in on this, right? This robbery, right? And that the Rothermeers is the name, the Rothschilds uses the camouflage, right?
That's right.
And that the Rothschilds own beacons, right? And then it turns out later, after I said all this, Clinton is going to be a visiting professor at the Rothermere Institute for American Studies in Oxford, right?
Yeah.
After he leaves the presidency.
Yeah.
So some people say, that's just a coincidence, Bobby. Well, I just saw a little advertisement by a company called Manugistics, Leveraged Intelligence. This is in Forbes magazine. That's a business magazine, July 24, 2000. And it says, anyway, there's no such thing as a coincidence. You know?
Nothing is a coincidence.
No, come on. It's a 1 in a billion coincidence, right? I want to read something that Spike Lee said. You know, he's the famous black movie producer, right? And he said, he's talking about this book about Malcolm X. He says, this was a book called Malcolm and the American State. The FBI file by Claiborne Carson with an introduction by Spike Lee. And look what Spike Lee says about the great United States. I was fascinated reading this book. At the same time, though, I found it frightening. We all live in a wicked country. So much in the U.S. We all live in a wicked country where the government can and will do anything to keep people in check. I might add that I see the FBI, CIA, and the police departments around the country as one and the same. They're all in cahoots, and along with the Nation of Islam, they all played a part in the assassination of Malcolm X. Who else? King? Both Kennedys? Evers? Hampton? The list goes on and on. So that's what I'm saying about this robbery of my stuff in Beacons in California. Some people say, oh, well, that's nothing to do with the federal government, Bobby. That's that you have your argument is with the state of California, right? Or the city of Pasadena. No, the whole damn government is one. This is very artificial, this distinction between the federal and the states in the U.S. and the county. It shouldn't be artificial, but it is. They're all in cahoots, all the police, the FBI, the local police, the federal government, they're all together.